to the podcast, where we introduce you to incredible humans who share their journeys with the mission to inspire you to harness your own inner tenacity to drive your life and career forward. And now, your host, Adam Posner.
So before we get into it, we're going to talk about the Vegas fog, right? And the Vegas fog, we're not just talking about whatever your vice is here, but it's a time difference. And my dude, Felix Mitchell, coming here from the UK. Whereabouts in the UK do you live?
I'm from London.
London town.
Best place in the UK.
The only place. Wifey and I went two summers ago, and I've traveled extensively over Europe, but for some strange reason, I never made it to London. We were there 7 days, no, 5 days in London. They said it was the best weather in 10 years. You go, it's not like this. Like, it's cloudy as fuck all day, all the time. I loved London. We have friends there. They showed us around. They took us in. We did the touristy shit because you have to. It's like when you come to New York, you're going to see the Empire State Building.
Got it.
But they took us underground. We went to the underground.
Hey, listen, man. I love London. I think it's genuinely the best city in the world. If you can get it in the sun, in the summer, there's no beating.
We saw Pearl Jam in Hyde Park.
Really? Pearl Jam, man. That's fantastic.
And it's my wife's favorite band, and we just did up. So Felix Mitchell, welcome to the podcast. Tell everyone who you are and what you guys do.
I'm Felix Mitchell. I'm the CEO and founder of a business called Instant Impact, and we are a talent acquisition services business. What does that mean? It's essentially a combination of RPO, but with a big infrastructure of sort of added value services, talent marketing, talent strategy, talent transformation, the whole piece. And it's our mission to make sure that talent acquisition lives up to its awesome potential, which I don't think it is at the moment.
Are you a recruiter by trade?
Sort of. So I set the business up straight out of college, and we were doing like intern and college recruitment. So I've only ever recruited, but I've never been trained as a recruiter.
So this is interesting too. So did you always have the entrepreneurial bug? Did you know when you were coming out of school, like, was there a plan to go work for the man? Or were you like, you know what, fuck that shit, I'm going to go do my own thing and build it out?
Depends who you ask. You ask my dad, there was always a plan to go work for the man. The only interview process I ever went through in my life was he made me apply for Goldman Sachs, which I was...
Did you go through the process?
Yeah, I went through the process.
Amazing.
I went through the process as far as I got to the first interview. They called my bullshit on everything. It sounds like they were doing something right with their assessment process. They were like, this isn't right for you, man. I was like, I know.
So recruitment, generally speaking, as a profession, is a low barrier to entry, but setting up a business is a whole different story. How did you have the credit in the background to know what to do about building a recruitment business? Or did you see that as an advantage because you had the white space, green grass, whatever the fuck you want to call it, mindset to say, we're going to build this in a way that we think is right?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of disagree that it's difficult to set up, that there are barriers to entry to setting up.
It's a low barrier of entry to be a recruiter. Because you don't need to have a degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm referring to. I just want to clarify that. But from a business perspective.
Yeah, I mean, no, I was going to say from a business perspective, I think the barriers to entry are much lower than people think, right? I think you need a set of balls. You need an outrageous amount of arrogance to go out on your own, especially at 21 when I did it.
Business.
What are you talking about? I think the real challenge is taking it from a $500,000 business to like through the $2 million. I think that's the real challenge. I'll be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, it took us 10 years of our 15-year history to get through that, to figure out our business model that works where we are at the moment. Now we're really scaling, but man, that's hard.
It is hard. I've been in business with my two firms for coming upon 7 years now, and it's hard. And there's an ups and downs. So what are your niches for recruitment?
So industry-wise, so we cover finance and professional services, and then we cover more science-y, that's a technical term, science-y businesses, pharma.
Science-y.
Pharma, life sciences, and sustainability.
Science-y. The word of the day transformed is science-y. How many folks on the team? How many?
We have.
How big is the entire team?
We have 70 people.
Boom.
And that's about 50, just under 50 recruiters, and then 20 people working on everything from data analytics, tech transformation, talent process transformation.
And what's your regionality, your geographic coverage?
Well, London headquartered, and we specialize in small and mid-sized businesses. Mm-hmm. So think sort of mid-hundreds to mid-thousands of employees. So the recruitment we do is incredibly international. So we cover 34 different geographies, but mostly it's the UK, then the US, than the rest of EMEA.
We just don't want you here, man. Get the hell out.
I know.
I have this problem with British recruiters. No, I'm just kidding. I used to work for a UK firm, but there is a little bit different mentality between a US recruiter and a UK recruiter.
Huge.
A huge difference. And I learned this the hard way. So open book here. I am a relationship driven recruiter. And yes, you could say you have relationships, but I found that the UK recruiters were much, and there's nothing wrong with being focused on the metrics and the numbers and results, because that's what drives business. But I found personally that they didn't give me enough rope, wiggle room, whatever the hell you want to call it. Let me work my relationships, because those long-term relationships are going to pay dividends in the hard times. They're going to pay dividends when there's an incumbent, there's a challenger, and they're going to stick with us because we did it right. How does that sit with you?
That's interesting. I see what you're saying.
This is called poking the bear.
No, not at all. Well, we're very far away from the agency model, right?
So, right, you're like, RPA, so
a lot of what we do is convincing our clients not to work with,
yes,
you know, those relationships.
Lock us in. We got great teams. We know what we're doing. One relationship.
Exactly.
Economies of scale.
But I think I think there is a big difference. I found, I think that UK recruiters, especially the ones that focus on the US, incredibly money motivated, you know, very driven by the deal. I think that you're right. UK companies are very SLA driven, very, very target, very big sales culture.
Not that's wrong.
No.
Different approaches.
Absolutely right. But I think that where the Brits are stronger, and I'd be interested in what you think about this. I found the Brits are better at the science and process of recruitment, and the candidate experience, I think, is better in the UK than it is in the US.
So I think that's obviously on a case-by-case basis.
Of course.
Right? I would agree with that too. And I think it's really important for folks to understand in recruiting, and this is what I had to learn. Not everyone can be a recruiter. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things here, I don't know if you found the same, where people think, oh, I sold a house once, I did some home repairs, I'm going to be a real estate agent. No, there's a lot to it. So in recruiting, there's the art and then there's the science. Both equally challenging, both take different skill sets and different ways to learn it that come with experience. Mm-hmm. The science, we have the tech. There's ways to reach out, there's ways to engage. But then there's the art of it, the art of the motivation, the art of the conversation, the art of engaging. So let's talk about TA for a little bit, and let's talk about some of those art skills that you see real successful recruiters. What are those skills that they have?
Can I answer that from the industry, the RPO? Sure. So I think the recruiters that we work with are probably have more akin in their day-to-day job with an sort of an in-house sort of corporate recruiter, right, than an agency recruiter.
There's differences for sure. And you already have the gig.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right. But I think you've also got the time. And I think that a really great RPO or recruiter, for instance, Impact, they'll take the time not just to fill the role, but to really work with the hiring manager to understand
the long-term
need, what the levers are. And we really want to get to a point where actually it's not always the hiring manager coming to you and be like, dude, I got a role. I need you to fill it. When are you going to get it filled? Really what we want is our team going to the hiring manager as a business partner and saying, well, I understand that you're looking to grow your revenue by 300%. Let's talk about the team that needs to sit underneath.
What do you have, what don't you have? So it's about being, and I say this all the time, I've said it three times, right? And I mean to cut you off, it's about being a partner and not viewed as a vendor.
Absolutely right.
And how do you embed yourself? So one of my favorite roles that has come around the last 10 years internally is the HRBP role, the HR business practitioner. And that role, for anyone out there that doesn't know, it sits really in between TA, finance, and the hiring managers to understand the business, what they need, what they may not need. They do calibrations on salaries and a lot more to it. But us as recruiters, if we could take on some of those elements, that's where we're adding value. Because, dude, what separates you from any other RPOs out there? It's your people, and what do those people do?
You're absolutely right. And it's to that point you were making before around maybe what made you a great recruiter. It's about that relationship and that sort of really nuanced understanding of your stakeholders. And it can be painful and it does take time. And there are people who are going to be like, oh, I don't want to sit down with you for an hour. I don't have an hour. But having, again, it goes to that confidence, having the confidence to sit down and be like, you want me to do a good job? I'll do a good job for you.
Yeah.
But you've got to invest the time in me and in my process first. And I think that's That's really important.
Hot take on AI and recruiting. Top it or drop it.
Dude, it's gonna be huge.
And I think
if people are still screwing around on ChatGPT, you're 3 months behind where you should be.
But if you should be as an individual to figure it out for yourself.
Of course, but use that as a tool to understand the fundamentals of AI. And I think if business leaders aren't thinking about those like unbelievable sourcing tools, I saw you had Sarah from MetaView on before. Absolute no brainer.
How can we do it better, faster, more efficient so we can focus on the people?
On the relationships.
On the art of recruiting.
Right, can we find one thing we disagree on before we end this?
What's your sport?
You know what? I support NFL, not Premier League. I'm a New Orleans Saints fan.
I'm a Giants fan. So it's not really a conflict there as far as that. I mean, the Saints are all right. That dome sucks. They got to blow that thing up in New Orleans and build something. What's it about American football that got you excited?
I like the anticipation. What I really love is in NFL, in American football, the game stops. You're thinking, what's going on? There's an excitement.
Like 90-minute soccer match. All the time. Let me know when, is it over yet? Did they just more time on? What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's over.
What's that all about?
It's not over. 0-0. Nothing's happened. Don't worry about it.
You love it there too. So this has been a fantastic conversation. I definitely want to connect more. That's what it's all about. I'm going to see you out tonight. It's Flo Rida.
You'll certainly see me at the pre-drinks. Remember that
I am... MetaView pre-drinks?
The MetaView pre-drinks. Remember, I am 7 hours behind. I've got two young kids.
Oh, yeah.
So, hell yeah. I'm gonna...
I do it. That's awesome, man. Well, Felix, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Where can folks connect? Where can they learn more?
Go to instant-impact.com or hit me up on LinkedIn. Felix Mitchell. And I'd love to tell them more about the future of TA and how we can live up to our potential.
We're all trying to do our best here. Let's keep the good times rolling and transform. We got Mike coming up next. No, Alex, I don't even know. Who the hell is next? Yes, Mike is up next. All right, awesome, man.
Over the last 3 years, how much market volatility have you experienced in your business? How many times have you had to hire quickly only to find yourself in a position a few months later with not enough roles to keep your recruitment team busy? Now, what if you could work with a flexible recruitment partner that you could scale up and down based on your needs without compromising on quality or culture? The good news is that solution is finally here. Matcher is a tech-enabled RPO player that made its mark in Europe and is now taking over the US by storm. Matcher combines technology, experience, and flexibility for startups, scale-ups, and corporates to quickly deliver on their hiring needs. Now, whether you're hiring across engineering, go-to-market, or G&A, Matcher got you covered. That's why Matcher's embedded sourcing, coordination, and recruiting services are trusted by companies like TikTok, Booking.com, Miro, Grammarly, Stripe, and more. To find out how Matcher can be your flexible recruitment partner, visit Matcher.io. That's MATCHR.io. And make sure you tell them you heard about it on the podcast. Thanks.
Wisdom is forever, but for us, it's time to go. Thank you for joining us. Luckily, we'll be back with our next episode soon, jam-packed with more incredible humans. Thank you for listening, subscribing, and sharing. To join the conversation, search The Podcast on LinkedIn. And to catch up on past episodes and more info, please visit www.thepodcast.com.